Good morning. It's nice to go places and visit people, but it's so nice to come back home. And I really enjoyed my time with Zach. And we had a really good visit, was able to be with him parts of 4 days, and just felt encouraged in his time there. In fact, he had something. Get my little book out of my pocket here to share with you all as well. Says, I've been realizing more and more that the basic things of Christianity were not rooted properly in my life back home, even though that is what I have wanted to portray. I really appreciate the approach here of breaking down pride and self and embracing Jesus as the way, the door, dot, dot, dot. I would appreciate prayers that I would be willing and able to see myself as I am and Jesus for who he is. I feel and greatly appreciate support from home. I'm missing things about home, but happy to be here, hoping that the Lord will bring me back with an enthusiasm that is pointed more directly at him. And I just sense that in my time with him, that he really wants this time to be productive and a blessing in his life. And so praise the Lord for that. I'd like to pause for a moment of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to come together to hear your word today. Lord, I ask that you would use those of us that are called to speak today and share your truth through us. I ask that you would bless us with a good week. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of you and honoring you. Lord, I ask that you would bless those that aren't with us here that have been in the past according to your knowledge of their needs and your will for them. Just help us, Lord, to encourage one another to press on in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how often do we hear people talk about bringing someone to the Lord? But what I have to share today is how to bring Jesus to someone. Not how to bring someone to Jesus, but how to bring Jesus to someone. We are called to be the light of the world. Jesus said, He said, "Ye are the light of the world." If we are to reflect Christ, if we are to be His hands and feet, when we are ministering to anyone, it should be Jesus that is shining through our lives, our speech, our actions. That, in essence, is what I have to share today. And I'll start with loving the unlovely. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, oftentimes it's hard when somebody is in their sin and maybe they know better and maybe they're half-hearted, maybe they're whatever their struggle is, there's something that's just not lovely. Will we lay down our lives to minister to them? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, those that are without Christ, they only know conditional love. They know a love that is selfish love or erotic love. But when you show an unworldly love, a love that's sacrificial and without limits or preferences, or condition, others can't help but see Jesus in you. You know, I saw something recently about a homeless man coming into a fast food restaurant and pulling a cup out of the garbage and getting a free fountain drink day after day. And the thought was, here's this person coming in, stealing a fountain drink, what would you do if you were the employer or an employee at that restaurant? The thought was that the employer asked to have asked an employee to go kick the guy out, but instead, the employee brought him a sandwich and fries and a drink and sat down across from him and said, "You don't have to steal," and talked to him. After a while, the guy realized this was okay and started eating, and he hadn't eaten anything for a couple days. And the fellow that had brought the food said, "Anytime you're hungry, come in and ask for me, and I'll give you food." And by the time all was said and done, they had exchanged handshake, and they knew each other's names, and there was a hug. And, you know, that several dollar sacrifice and a few minutes and a promise of more if you come back is bringing Jesus to someone. How do we show them that Jesus is alive and well? We have to live that. We have to exemplify that. You know, loving the unlovely, it's so easy to just look at somebody like that and say, "Oh, well, they're just stealing. There's nothing I can do for them. They've probably done it all their lives." But instead, to actually sit down and talk to the person and to find out, wow, this guy hasn't even eaten anything for a couple days. No wonder he feels desperate. Do people reach out and touch your life with the love of the Lord? Do people reach out and touch my life with the love of the Lord? Yes, they do. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs to see Jesus. I don't like the thought that our idea of bringing someone to Jesus means see if they'll come to church, give them a Bible and tell them we'll pray for them, or somehow doing something that may just leave them wondering what they need and what this is all about, or even leaving a distaste because we weren't actually willing to get down on their level and minister to them, to get dirty, whatever it is, whatever it takes. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't very lovely, were we? God is love. God is compassion and care. Yes, there's judgment, but what does God want? He wants the best for us. He had to extend that very graciously. 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 16. Here it's talking about Paul, who he was before, and here that he wanted Christ to show forth through him in long-suffering. "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." How long are we willing to suffer? What is long suffering? Couldn't it, in simple terms, be said a willingness to suffer a long time,
a willingness to suffer long. You know, are we patient? That could be somewhat of a parallel. Are we willing to be exemplifying Christ's long-suffering to others? Matthew 18, I'd like to look at the first 14 verses. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Rescuing the little ones. It's not, as far as I see, just talking about children. What about those people that maybe they're half-hearted, maybe they are on the fence, maybe they are struggling? How far away do we want to let them get before we safely leave the 99 and go pursue them? Instead of looking down on people, we need to bring Jesus to them. Hopefully they'll get on the right side of the fence and cling to the Jesus that you and I can offer them. The insignificant person, unattractive, awkward, ignored, embarrassing, immature, those who have nothing to bring to the table. Is Jesus reaching out to them through my life and yours? How do we bring Jesus to someone? Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Next, I'd like to read Colossians 1, verse 27. I should have just written it down, but I didn't, so we'll turn there. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? What does that look like? Is the hope of glory seen in our lives? Are we radiating? Are we showing hope as we go through this life? Do we believe in the eternal? Are we living like we believe that? What do the hopeless see? Do they see hope when they look at me and when they look at you?
Next, I'd like to read Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34. Familiar passage. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When I was on this trip, I saw something that caught my eye. I saw Fifth Third Bank. It's like Fifth Third Bank. How do you come up with a kooky name like that? And anyway, you know, I looked it up, and around 1909, Third National Bank and Fifth National Bank merged, and it became Fifth Third Bank. It can trace its history back to 1858 in Cincinnati, originally known as the Bank of the Ohio Valley. So what, right? Whatever. What does this have to do with anything? Well, I was thinking about what we do with what we have. And, you know, it talks about how God provides. It says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And God has so graciously ministered to our family, and I'm sure yours, through the years, in so many ways. He's taken care of things. Talks about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness with compound interest. Oh, it says, and all these things shall be added unto you. It talks about there being blessings that come from seeking him. So, about the year 85, the book of Matthew was written. That is 85. And in this book, as we're reading, is this verse, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that verse, in conjunction with Malachi, which was written perhaps 430 BC, Malachi 3:10, where it talks about bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. When, you know, I want my eggs to be in the right basket, so to say. You know how people talk about, don't put all your eggs in one basket, you know? It's just supposed to be the right basket. One that you can bank on. I desire to bring Jesus to someone over and over to invest in Eternal Celestial Kingdom All Nations Bank, because that is much better than Fifth Third Bank. And, you know, when it all boils down to it, are things that we do that we can do in small ways or bigger ways. And some of what seems big to us is small. It isn't really big. It just seems big to us. It's hard for us to do something that demands of the flesh, demands us giving up something. And some of what seems small is big, because God takes note of a cup of cold water only being given in the name of a disciple. That may be our opportunity to bring Jesus to someone today. So in conclusion, my encouragement is to love the unlovely, freely forgive, display joy, show grace, not a critical spirit, be willing to be at the bottom, keep your cool, watch your words, be holy, not hurried, don't worry, be zealous for God's glory, do good works, show kindness and compassion. These investments are worth everything. Bring Jesus to someone today. May God bless.